Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tonight. I want to speak to you maybe a couple of times on the joy of Christmas, the opportunity to commune with God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth and took our place on Calvary's tree, He made it possible for lost sinners to be able to commune with God. You know, I don't know that we even realize how important that is. Communion is not what we do once every 2 or 3 months when we gather together and we have the Lord's Supper. That some people, that's what all they think about when it comes to communion. That's a very shallow understanding of that particular word. To commune means that we can fellowship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And that wasn't possible prior to salvation. It's impossible to commune with God in our lost state. Communion is a gift that follows salvation. Crying out to God for salvation is not communion. That's seeking God to transform my heart and life and make me a new creature. It's that what follows that is communion. You think about it. My wife and I took Gregory's dogs out for a walk before church tonight. And actually, I was walked by the dogs. And you know how that is whenever you're taking care of somebody else's dog. And my wife and I were just walking along, just talking and chit-chatting and so forth. You know what we were doing? We were communing. And we were communing even when we weren't talking. I want you to learn something here. I have found over the years that some of the greatest communion with God is when my mouth is shut. My mouth is shut. And I let God do all the talking and let Him speak through His Word. You know, we live in a day of talking. We live in a day of just all kinds of verbiage. They were talking about how many billions and billions of text messages are now in storage areas all over the world. These huge servers that have billions and billions and billions. And you know what most of it is? It's not worth repeating. That's what most of it is. And yet what does God say? God says every idle word shall be brought into an account. Now, that should tell us something. The less said, the better. You see, communion is whenever there's someone in the mix who is submitted and listens. You understand? Now, do I have anything to tell God that He doesn't already know? Is there something that God doesn't know tonight, and I know it, and I'm going to tell Him? Well, we all laugh and say, that's a joke. He knows everything. Oh, a good reminder. Good reminder. We need to learn to commune. I want to bring you to one of the most powerful and succinct statements of the gospel that we find in the Scriptures. And it's here in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. You probably have it memorized. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became what? Poor. That ye, through His poverty, might be rich. Father, we thank You so much for this powerful passage of Scripture that shows us just how impoverished we were, that we had to have the Son of God come and bestow His riches to us because we had none. We had all kinds of liability. He had none. And yet He deigned, through Your grace, to take on our liability. And so, Father, we thank You for that. We pray that You'd bless this short challenge, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you, raise your hand, have had a debt forgiven? Anybody here? Sometime in your life, you've had a debt forgiven. All right? Some of you. If you got a ticket and you went to the judge and he said you don't have to pay it, guess what? You had a debt forgiven because you owed that up to that point. I'll never forget sitting in chapel and they announced, so we got some scholarships And they said, Roger, what was it, $1,000 scholarship that he got for his school bill. I almost jumped up and down. I said, praise the Lord! You know? I wouldn't have done that because I'd have probably gotten in trouble. But, I mean, you never hear anybody that you know's names read from the pulpit. I mean, I just didn't know anybody. I said, Roger got $1,000. And I went over to his dorm room and we rejoiced together that he was able to get $1,000 off of his liability. Now, you know what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and for me? He came to this earth and he assumed all the liability of every sinner that's ever lived on this earth. Now think about that for just a moment. He did that not because they loved him so much. By the way, if that's how you shop for Christmas for people, because they love you so much, all right, be careful about that. How about buying something for somebody that doesn't love you at all? Because that's exactly what Jesus did for you and for me. I think we get this thing all backwards. We get it all backwards. He assumed my liability. Giving up his riches, the Bible says. And by the way, in the New Testament Greek, when you see the word riches, it means literally without liability. You know how wonderful that is? To be without liability, you don't have any bills. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That Gulf Power just said, you know what, we're going to assume your liability. We're not going to charge you anymore. We'll just send you free power. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we didn't have any liability? We don't know a time in our lives that we don't have some liability. There's always somebody that says, you owe me this. But Jesus took your sin debt, your liability that meant you were going to go to a devil's hell, and he took it upon himself. That's what that verse is saying there. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was without liability and had all riches, yet for your sakes he became poor. He took on your liability. Not only did he bestow his grace and his righteousness to us, but he took away all the liability that we had and he put it on himself. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that's a gift that's far greater than anything you're going to get under the tree this Christmas. We put some presents, fake presents, under the tree out here. You should have seen the kids today, this afternoon. Mr. Brainerd, what's under the tree? Okay? They're all excited. I said, We've got air that we're going to give away. Okay? Oh, look at that big box. I wonder what's in it. One of the little girls that came in because her older sister was having piano went over there and shook one of the boxes to see what was in it. Yeah. It's exciting to get a gift, right? But what is that? You get a gift for Christmas. Think about the debt that most Americans have at the end of Christmas. Yeah. They get really happy with all the wonderful sales that are out there. And they load up that little plastic thing that they're going to send you in January. And what in the world? What did you just do? You assumed a lot of liability to make other people happy for 30 minutes. Okay? All right. Make you happy for 30 minutes. And that's it. Now, let me ask you something. Is that a good exchange? Not really. Does that make business sense? No, it doesn't. But what God did was not only bestow His grace to us, give us what we don't deserve, but it took away what we did deserve. And that was judgment for a bill that we hadn't paid. And He just assumed that liability and took it upon Himself. Now, folks, that brings joy into the believer's life. That ability now, do you have joy when you owe the bank for a car? Do you go out for lunch with the banker? Huh? No, I don't know anybody that does that. I don't go down to Santa Rosa Credit Union and say, hey, I need to see the president. I want to take him out for lunch because I owe him $15,000. I just feel like I want to do that. Nobody does that. But that's what God did. We have communion with Him. The one who took on our liability and forgave it through the work of His Son, because it did require payment. The payment was the blood of His only begotten Son. Folks, I hope we can develop this a little bit further, but our time is gone. Poverty must be enriched by one who has the resources. We can't have communion with the Father until the sin debt was taken care of. But you know what I have to do as a lost sinner? I have to accept that that's been done in my behalf. And there's a lot of proud people in this world. I'm not taking that. I don't need that. And they're going to die and go to a devil's hell, having rejected the wonderful grace and the riches of mercy that was made for them because Jesus assumed their liability, and they said, no, you're not. I don't want that. And the Bible says we're condemned already, and so therefore we have to go on to judgment. I'm thankful, especially at this season of the year, for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know what that meant for Todd Brainerd? The very fact that He came to this earth and was born in Bethlehem and was incarnated as a human being was so that He would take my sin debt and bear it in His body on the tree so that Todd Brainerd could have joy. We could care less about other people in this world today. You think about all the mean things you say inside your car when somebody cuts you off. Okay? Not a whole lot of love there, is there? Oh, we could go 1,000 times of the thing. Did you see that jerk? Man, did we get his license out of a bubblegum machine or something? You know, we do all that kind of stuff. And yet God sent His Son to die for jerks. Yeah, that's what He did. And praise God for it. Father in heaven, I thank You that we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And the reason that we have that joy is because we're allowed to commune with You, the perfect, sinless, glorious, majestic God, because of the atoning work of Your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who had no liability, took on our liability, and He did so by paying the debt with His own body on that tree. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to quit being so selfish. Help us, dear Father, to quit thinking about all the things that we can get out of this world. And may we start thinking about what we can give. Because You have claims on our life. And Lord, I pray that we might know the joy of communion with Thee. That it would not be just a hit and miss type thing, but it would be an hourly, daily event of listening to You as You speak through Your Word. Less talking, more listening to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our life through the Word of God. We pray, Father, that You would dismiss us now with Thy blessing. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. Have a good evening.